Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Marion Basto, I mentioned earlier about the car.
Hello, Joe.
How are you keeping? Well, this car, 51551, my chance, this car we got about, there's a shop in Finglas. Now, they're not selling replica guns, but they're selling guns that look like real guns, but they're air guns. Well, somebody pointed out that some of them cost over 200 quid. They're made of the high-end metal. And some of them even have the laser scopes on them. You know these guns that when that SWAT teams use?
And hunters use as well. Yeah.
Now, when you were held up at gunpoint, did you know if it was a real gun or a replica gun?
Not at all. I didn't know. I assumed. I thought it was a real gun because the metal was cold against my temple. And it wasn't until the next day that I went to the Garda station to make a statement that the guards showed me the stuff they'd taken from him and showed me the gun, and the guard said it wasn't a real gun and blah, blah, blah. But you don't know that somebody's holding a cold gun to your forehead, your temple.
And in you tell us what happened in your case.
Well, I went into the post office in Balldoyle one Friday morning to collect my mother's pension.
Right.
I was the very first customer in after the door opened, and I didn't see anyone. I was just standing outside the door. But I was just barely at the counter when this lad came in with his hand around my neck, all in pain. And he demanded money from the postmistress, who's now since dead.
Okay. And what, he had his hand around your neck, kind of holding you hostage. Where was the gun?
Holding me hostage. The gun was on his other hand at my temple.
Actually pressing as in the movies, onto your temple.
As in the movie, just putting, beside your eye, if you like.
Yeah, and what was the sensation like?
Oh, terrifying. Because all I can remember, and I can still remember, is the cold metal at my temple. And there was a horrendous smell from him as well, whatever it was, drinking drugs and unwashed. Mm. He was tall and thin, I didn't see his face. But he kept shouting at the postmistress, she says, give us the money, give us everything. He was screaming and shouting and said, she'll get it.
That's you.
Yeah, that was me, He was going to shoot me if the postmistress didn't hand over the money. But she said to him at one or two stages, she said, I'm not giving you anything, she said. There was a big glass panel between her and him and me.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not giving you anything, she said. That's not a real gun. And I said, oh, that's great. It's just lovely to hear that.
That was reassuring for you,
So
you're being held hostage. Your man has this gun. Is there pressure on your temple with the barrel of the gun?
No.
But you felt, you could feel metal on your temple.
You had it up against my forehead. If you had it against your arm, you'd feel the cold of it. If you had a bare arm or your leg, you know, it was just like that.
So he's saying, give me the money or she gets it.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, he was going to shoot me. I was the hostage, you see.
And the postmistress says, get lost.
Yeah, more or less told him to get away. She said, that's not where he's going. She was a tough little character now. She was known to be tough, but the gun wasn't being held at her temple.
And did she say afterwards that she knew it wasn't a real gun or she was just guessing?
No, she didn't. I didn't have any conversation with her after the incident because the guards came along. Somebody came in behind me. I didn't see them under their shadow. And they obviously saw what was going on. And the guards came quite quickly that morning. There was some kind of a cycle race on somewhere. And there were squad cars and there was police from Raheny and police from Holt, whom I knew some of them. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, did I know what he looked like? And I said, no, I said, I didn't see his face, but he had like what I would call sailing shoes on his feet. That was all I could see of him. And that there was a terrible smell off him. I'll never forget the smell.
And what was the smell? Sorry.
Well, now I don't know.
What do you remember? Was it a stale alcohol smell?
No, I know that. No, well, it wasn't that. Well, it was like unwashed bodies.
Yeah, B.O. Was it B.O.?
Yeah, but something else as well, you know, like something coming out through the pores, maybe.
Well, there's a phrase in Dublin for that, Marion. I don't know whether you remember.
What's it?
There's a hum off him.
A hum, yeah.
A hum.
Yeah.
Would that describe the smell? A bit of a hum off him?
Yeah, a good hum off him. Because it tells it never get home to get changed and washed after that. But
and did you say to the postmistress, hang on a minute, don't get into a debate with him over whether it's a real gun or not. Yeah. He's going to shoot me, give him the money.
Yeah. No, I was so frightened. I was in shock, I suppose, really. And I had been off that week and had been in hospital for a little a woman job. So I was still a little shady, even though I was going back to work on the Saturday.
And by the way, how were you subsequently in post offices?
Well, it was okay. I didn't go back to that post office. Actually, after that incident, I got my mother's pension paid into her bank account.
And I used to go
once a month.
Well, is that annoyance with the postmistress, or was it
trauma?
Well,
a bit of both. Yeah, I said, I'm never going to go down to that place again, because I would always go early in the morning because I'd have to be in work for 11 o'clock.
Now, in fairness, Marion, to the postmistress, maybe she had been held up before by this fella.
She may have.
And she knew he was a... Maybe she recognised a home off him.
Well, why didn't she say that to me and said, And the other thing I forgot to say to the researcher was I got £100 for my trouble from post or whoever they were. It's about 17 years ago now. Right. And our postman, who's since dead, he said, you'll get a few bob for that. I said, yeah, I'd like to get a few bob for something that is traumatic. Yeah. But
did you know? And we phoned the shop, and they are open. There's a shop in Finglas in Dublin, perfectly legitimately, I hasten to add, selling guns. Now they're not replica guns, because that's probably illegal, but selling air guns that cost up to and over £200. That have these laser sights on them, so that they look like the real thing, and they're made of gun metal. You know that beautiful metal guns are made of. But they're regarded as an essential retail service during the pandemic.
Yeah, I might go up to one myself. I don't know what that's about. That to me sounds purely nuts. I have seen replica guns before in shop window as window dressing for. Used to be a Western shop there in Talbot Street, North Earl Street. It used to sell Stetsons and that kind of stuff. But the window was dressed with these replica guns, because when I saw the gun in the Garda station the next day, I said, I've seen that kind of gun before. But I knew the ones, I didn't know for sure, but I assumed the ones for the window dressing weren't real. But that was the kind of a gun the lad had, and it appeared to be heavy-ish. Now, where he got it, I don't know.
And was he caught, by the way, Marion?
Oh, he was. Yeah, the guards were out like a shot.
Oh, brilliant! And, pardon
the
pawn. Did they take gun issues very serious? And was he sentenced?
He was caught down in a house a couple of doors down. I don't know if you know that area, Baldoyle. There's like two big old like army houses or something, or maybe even not army houses. But they were let out in apartments, and he went down there. Now, I don't know how they went there, for maybe someone outside saw him going in there, but they caught him on there and then, and they took him up to wherever they took him.
And did you have to go to court?
No, I didn't, because he admitted guilt. But he had 16 or 17 other charges as well. And the thing, when they brought him to the station, I didn't know this either, but... they brought him up to Howth, and I had to go up the next morning then to make a statement and identify the gun, if you don't mind. But they had to change all of his clothes. They had to get him everything new, because they wanted his clothes for evidence.
But the only way you would have been able to identify him in court is if you had been allowed to go up and sniff him.
When the court case came up, the guard, I knew a few of the guards in Holt at that time, and one of them let me know. He said, that case is coming up, he said. And then it didn't come up. He admitted guilt. But what did he say? And I said, because it was a good while after. And I said to the guard, I said, sure, I wouldn't know him now after that, this length of time. You will, he said, he'll be standing in front of you. And I thought, Jesus, that's great.
Okay, well, you're
the trauma and the drama.
You're over it now, thankfully. Okay, Marion Bastow, thanks indeed. By the way,
thanks, Joe.
Two little bits of house. Just for the generality, Marion, not for you. Did you get your vaccination yet, Marion?
No, I'm going tomorrow evening to DCU to get.
Yeah, well,
I presume the first shot.
Will you bring the it's so hot today, and apparently, and this no one can help this because we're doing so many. Apparently, there is a long queue in the Helix. And a lot of us outdoor in the sun. So will you please bring water, bring a sunblock, maybe even some people bring a sandwich if they want to, but there could be...
God, yeah.
Primarily bring water. And the second thing is, I got a phone call this morning, I'd say a lot of people did, from some dope pretending to be from the Department of Social Protection. They're ringing, and it comes up like an Irish number. The Department of Social Protection are not ringing people. Just hang up and preferably block the number immediately. Yeah. But don't answer. Department of Social Protection are not ringing people. Okay, Marion, thanks for that. Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.